You have entered the Arcade Cafe. Today, I'm drinking a smoothie, the rest of the smoothie that my wife made for my stepdaughter, and I'm also drinking some sparkling water, which I just spilled all over my shirt when you can't see, but I did.
Neither of those things are alcohol.
I know, and I just
or
thought,
coffee.
I don't need to look like a total drunk on this show.
Is it but because last time I said you drink every single episode?
Yeah, I think we said this last time, but yes, I'm just really reinforcing the fact that I'm not a total alcoholic. Mm-hmm. But what do you have today?
Apple juice.
Sure. It's an old fashioned, right?
Yeah, it is.
Had a hard day. Get off my back.
Fine. I'm your host, Bryce Yoli, and
yeah,
I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law and more eloquent co-host, Caleb James.
I got a tattoo on my lip. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it right there in your lip.
It washed off.
It said, here in the Arcade Cafe lies a canned text writing rejection size answer to those full-length episodes of the main feature of Arcade Bookshop. At only 30 minutes in length, we bring you our current thoughts on our video game progress, book progress, a little bit of video game news that's probably already a little old, occasional state of the podcast info, our wants, our needs, our private thoughts, our deepest, darkest secrets, and of course, the sweet nothings that Caleb whispers in the bedroom.
You made that first word up.
What?
Whatever word you said to begin that long rambling sentence, you made it up. I never heard that word.
Canned text?
Yeah, never heard it.
Like canned text, like in a can. Like
I thought that was one word.
No. No, like canned text, like a stock rejection. You know, how they just say, sorry, it's not a reflection of your writing, but you're rejected.
What are you, a 1960s newsman? Canned. Nobody uses canned for anything anymore.
What about canned food, Caleb?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. All right. Well, do you want to get down to business?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do it. Yeah, that. And for all of you who didn't see that, this is a video.
Bullseye.
We got video, and officially Arcade Cafe was always video, but now all Arcade Bookshop is all video, only if you go to YouTube for now. But if you want to watch us and watch us do weird stuff that you can't see in the audio only episodes, like everything that Caleb is penetrating right now.
Whoa! Wowzers.
Check out YouTube, Arcade Bookshop on YouTube, and I post the link. I post the link in my stories on Instagram if you want to follow there. Arcade_bookshop.
We're also on Jewish YouTube, YoyTube. So check that out too.
Right.
I put us on there. You don't know about that one.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to start with writing news this week?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We got writing news. Yay.
Yeah. You got
Bryce acceptance. Just got published by the New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Thank you.
Angry letters to the editor is what he got published for.
Yeah.
He was going
on. I don't
want to
talk about it, though.
Some kind of misogyny. He was a terrible person. No, I
do best.
Today, as of whatever today is, I actually forgot I submitted to this publication. It was a older sword and sorcery story I wrote. So it's really long. It's like 10,000 words. I never could find a single publication that accepted that word length for the genre. So I just kind of forgot about it, and then I found this one on Instagram. It's Dark Home Publishing, and I actually just submitted, from what I remember, just as a general submission. I didn't know exactly what they published, but it turns out they have an anthology, the Veil of Despair. And apparently I'm accepted in that, and I get 54 American dollars, or $50 euros, 50
British,
whatever
pounds.
The fuck they have, quid. I don't know the UK, wherever they are in the UK. But I am excited because now I hit my goal of an international publication, and I did it almost on accident because, like I said, I forgot about it, and I think I actually had to pay like $6 or $7 for this submission. So I was like, oh, this is probably one I'm definitely not going to get. They pay, and it's a higher fee, so it's probably very hard to get into. And surprise, surprise, I got into it, and now that makes 5 acceptances since January.
That's awesome. That's very good.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Caleb.
Yeah.
What is sword and sorcery, like fantasy one?
Yeah, like the Conan stories, like Conan the Barbarian, that kind of stuff. It's fantasy, but more about the chopping and the Contra guys without guns, you know, machine swords. But that's stabbing right. instead of machine gun. Yeah, but the genre is one of my favorite genres. When on DPW many, many moons ago, we covered the Robert E. Howard Conan stories, and they turned out to be a lot of fun, which made me want to write. Damn, that must have been like 2018, 2019. So that story is actually pretty old. If I remember correctly, yeah. It's not that well written compared to what I could do now. Since it's so old, but I'm sure I did some editing before I submitted it, but I really don't remember much about it other than it's cool and you should read it.
Well, that's pretty awesome regardless. I'm jealous.
Yeah, you are.
I have a couple international ones pending. I don't know how well they're going to do, but mostly I've just been getting rejected. So I'm really, really happy that I always get rejected.
Yeah, you're going to hit your rejection goal so quickly.
I probably will. I am getting discouraged. We were talking about this earlier today. I'm getting pretty pissed off. I got a couple of personal rejections the last 2 weeks or so, and I don't know what to make of them. I try not to take anything super personally, but they make comments on your writing, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
they say you're writing this shit and you should quit now and just take up a different hobby.
Yeah, it makes me feel that way. I haven't written anything in like a week and a half because it's just pissing me off. Getting in my head. So I don't know, hopefully I'll get another acceptance, hopefully not from a particular carp themed magazine, and I can get over it and move on, but we'll see. That's all I have for writing news. Do you have anything else?
Just that in the last week I have been rejected by The Fiction Desk. That's, I think, a UK publication I've been trying to get into. Do not like my work. Eco Theo Collective. That one hurts because it just sounds like something I don't even want to get into, let alone get rejected by. The Pen Review, which pissed me off because I was pending for exactly 1 month, which made me think, oh, this will be a good acceptance because they don't wait long. They usually reject you within 2 days, sometimes a week. No, I was there for a whole month, and then I just got Yankee Fan. I also got rejected by RBR. Maybe that's Rialto. I don't remember what that one was, but they rejected me as well, and I'm a loser, and nobody will ever love me because of it. But I do get paid now, so yeah, suck it, Bryce.
That's nice. Good.
I hope it's a print anthology. I don't know anything about the anthology, really. Like, I looked them up, and that. I saw that they had, like, a video and stuff and some details about what the anthology is going to be, but it didn't say if it's a print anthology, and it just says summer of 2024.
Well, you don't have to wait too long. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They also misspelled my name in the contract, so I had to correct them. It's kind of awkward. They said my name like fucking six times, but they put collab, C-A-L-A-B, as well in the acceptance email. They put collab, and I thought, oh, maybe I misspelled it in my submission, and I fucked up. But I looked, and I did not. It was not on me. They just misspelled my name for whatever reason.
That's really weird. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got rejected from Pen Review for the third, fourth time this last period. I'm getting kind of pissed about that, but I do want to get in there. The one that that's getting the most frustrating is Anti-Heroin Chic.
Accepted my poem. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier today. Yeah, I submitted a poem this morning and they accepted it immediately.
Oh, yeah. And I bet they were like, I just want to specifically tell you, Caleb, your work is so much better than that fuckwad Bryce.
Oh, they did. They said it was way better. The themes are on point and I stay focused on them.
Good.
My poem, The Wrong Bowel Movement, hit them in a very serious way.
That goes right in with the theme of anti-heroin chic. So, good.
When you're on heroin and you're getting off the junk, you get constipated from what
I understand. Right.
Oh, that's spicy.
No, but it's
I didn't mix it well, so all the sugar was on top. And the bottom was just straight whiskey.
I don't want to go on about it forever, but it's frustrating because I feel like I actually like Anti-Heroin Chic, and I just don't really understand how I'm not fitting in there, and I feel like they do accept a lot more than a lot of journals do, so I'm just not really getting it. But anyway, I've also been rejected by Lavina Press or something like that, and I don't know, a couple others. I'm not even Rialto.
And you're really worried about it. That's must have what RBR was in Rialto. Out of your whole serious submission time this last year and a half, 2 years, whatever it's been, what is the one that hurts the most? Not because you wanted to get it the most, because it's just like, really, they rejected me. For me, it's still Cool Beans, just because it's a fucking dumb name. And I submitted it as a joke. I was like, oh, I don't care about Cool Beans. I won't submit anything good. And then they rejected me, and I was like, well, obviously, I didn't submit anything good, but still, it's Cool Beans. Stupid name. Spank the carp, that's what you're going
to
say.
That's the first thing that's coming to mind, but I feel like there's something else, like an obvious one that I just can't figure out how to get into.
That journal that rejected you, because that's kind of embarrassing.
That did kill me, because I thought for sure I get it, because I do have some like religious themed poems, and I think they're really good, and they're specifically looking for something for work that like it's like Christian but worldly work, and I feel like that's exactly what my religious ones are. And I feel like they're very good fits for that journal. And it's the first issue, so it should have been like, oh, we'll take anything. but yeah, so that did piss me off.
That's the worst, when you think, oh, this is a slam dunk. Like when I first submitted to Spank the Carp, I was like, oh, this is fucking slam dunk. What a dumb place that must be. I didn't realize it was hard to get into. And then I got into it and I flexed. And then I got the print book came out and I'm like, yeah, I mean this, and put it on my shelf and never read anything in it. But there's a few where I'm like, oh, this is a slam dunk. And then I just fucking got, you know, somebody just rejected me and I was like, no. And here's where I am coming up to a worry. So Spencer and I have submitted to, I don't remember the name of it, but it's a For Charity anthology. And if I get rejected by the For Charity anthology, I am going to feel like such dog shit. Like I really am gonna feel probably worse than I've ever felt about anything, because granted I know my story's not top notch, because they wanted like flash fiction and the max word count was 1200 and I hit 1200 because I can't write what they wanted, which was a very the submission was for what they deserve, quote unquote, which is you're supposed to write a heinous character that gets what they deserve in a very gory way. It's tough writing that in such a short word count. So I did my best and I did make sure I added a good bit of gore. But I'm worried the story is not strong enough just because of the word count. And I'm like, if I get rejected though for a charity anthology, then I know they're getting dog poop. They have to get dog poop for this, because it's, you don't get paid, you don't get anything, and it's a digital anthology, it's not print.
What a weird theme for a for charity.
And it goes to like some really good like heart charity or something too. I was like, oh, that's one reason I submitted. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then you know what, also it doesn't make me mad by no means. I was very happy. Spencer came over and we got really drunk and started working on his story, so he dictated the story to me and I wrote it and we spiced it up and worked on it together. And then he came over again and we edited it and submitted it, and I think it's really fucking good. Like I think it's one of the better stories. And I'm like, I kind of wish we didn't, like, I didn't have him submit it to that for charity thing. I think he could have got it into a, like, a good print journal somewhere. So I was like, but then I was thinking, what a funny thing it would be if he gets that story published by them and I get rejected by them. I'm like, what a fucking weird twist. Because usually it's the opposite. Usually I get somewhere and then he doesn't get it. Like, he submitted to Diabolic Press and never heard back from him. And I was like, well, that's fucking shitty. Yeah. And then, like, I forget the other one. There was another one I think we both submitted to, and I think I got in, but he didn't. And it might have even been the same story he submitted, though. But I was just like, this one would be funny, because I really think he has a great shot at getting in, but I'm not confident in my story at all, which sucks, because it's one of those things. If I get rejected, I'd have nowhere for that story. I'm not going to use it for anything.
Yeah, I hate that. I don't typically... I have a list of submissions like that where they're themed or they want something particular that I could write something for, and I just never get around to doing it. I just feel like it seems like a waste of energy to me sometimes to try to write something. I mean, we've probably talked about this before. It can be a good exercise to write something different that you might be able to use it elsewhere, but oftentimes, especially for you as a story, they're like very, very tailored in a way that you can't just send it anywhere.
Well, that's so, like for the writer's retreat. That was when I was really confident in. I was like, oh, I'm getting this in the bag. I wrote a story specifically for their theme. And I was like, I'm nailing this. I'm getting in it. I'm excited. And then they started posting that, oh, we got over 100 submissions and only 20-something slots. I was like, ooh, that might not be good. And it slowly just started dawning on me. I was like, I don't think I'm going to get this just because what my story is, because they did like a live, Instagram thing where they were talking about some of the stories they got and stuff. And then they started like mentioning what they are going to probably reject just because they got so many of that kind of story. I was like, ah, shit, my story falls into that. And I was like, I have nowhere to submit that. I submitted that story a few other places and they got rejected because it's so specific, because it was specific to that anthology. I'm like, I have nothing to do with it now. And it fucking sucks. It's like, I want to submit it somewhere good, but nobody's going to take it because it's a specific trope story, because that's what the anthology was, which is writing about writers in a horror setting, which has been done to death. Right. Those publications say they don't want stories about writers. So I was like, God damn it.
Well, you got your acceptance, your international acceptance, and I'm still fucked for the time being. So, but have let's you move got on.
Well, wait, before you do that, have you gotten into international anything yet?
I don't think so. I'm pending it some, but
all right, move I'm on.
Sort of hopeful for that Irish one. I forget what.
Stop it's talking about the Irish one. You're never getting in it. Just move on.
All right. Yeah, I need time for the main topic of the show, but I have one bit of gaming news. I think it's kind of funny. There's this game that just came out last Friday or Thursday or Friday, Rise of the Ronin. So this game was supposed to be, well, I don't know if it's supposed to be, but people were saying it looks kind of similar to Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. And someone said it might be like almost like Ghost of Tsushima 2. So it comes out, and I tell my friend, he's been looking for a new game to play, so I told my friend about it at work, and he goes and gets it, and the reviews are in, Caleb.
It's poop. Dookie shit.
I haven't read reviews, but his review is that it sucked. He bought it and returned it the next day.
It is that dog shit that's been in the yard so long it turned white in the sun?
I guess so. He said the graphics are like PS3 graphics, and he said the story is crap, and it's also hard. He said it's like the enemies just come out of the ground and they're just constant. Like, you beat him and there's more, and you beat him and there's more, and then the first boss he couldn't even beat it, and he had to turn it down to easy, and he still couldn't beat it, and he was like, maybe it gets better, but I don't have the fucking time for this. But yeah, he returned it, and that's that. And it's funny because it's like there's just not a lot coming out this year because last year was so good. There's just nothing this year. I think the best thing that's probably coming out is the remaster or the remake or whatever of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, which I kind of want to play, but that's beside the point. There's just nothing, and Rise of the Ronin sucked. So
when is the new Grand Theft Auto coming out? Is that next year?
I think it's, I don't know. It could be later than that because I don't know if they're going to wait until the next generation to put it out. They could, or at least wait until after the PS5 Pro comes out.
2026.
I was going to say 2026.
I hate when they put trailers and shit out years in advance. Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to fucking play it anyway.
Maybe I'll be a different man in 2026. You don't know. Maybe I'll be divorced and have more time. Who knows? My wife might leave me for playing these dumbass games keep making me play.
Please. You played one, then you said I'm not playing the other one. So
$20. That's expensive for a game that's not very long.
That's cheap for a game that's not very long.
No, it's not. Sea of Stars only cost me like $11.
Well, because it was on sale. It's normally like $30-$40. Anyway, you want to go for the main part of this episode?
We gotta hurry up. Come on, speak the
fuck up. All right, we gotta really hurry up. We might end up going 40 minutes today. But you want to play a game?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I call this game Things That Aren't Contra. The government has officially considered Contra games illegal contraband and launched nukes to destroy all copies of the game and all its sequels, prequels, and Contra-related games from existence. On their way out of this world, Bill Reiser and Lance Bean are gunning down everything they can, because if they can't exist, nothing and nobody else can either, Caleb.
I appreciate that sentiment.
At the very instant of this turn of events, you piddle around looking for four of your favorite things to save from also being eliminated from time forever. One, any video game from all time that is not Contra. Two, a recent video game that is not Contra. Three, any book from all time that is not Contra. And four, a recent book from the last 10 years or so that is not Contra. So what is your...
These? I'm saving them.
You have to save, yeah. First one is any video game from all of time that isn't Contra.
Contra 2.
No, it's, didn't you hear, it's all Contra-related games.
So no Contra.
No Contra. That's the only rule.
I can only pick one game?
From all of time.
Oh, man. Maybe Chrono Trigger. That was a really good game. It was pretty long. It was fun. Or Fear and Hunger. Fear and Hunger is a lot of fun, and I can, like, there's a lot of characters, so I can get a lot of different endings.
Really? That would be the one game that you save?
I mean, if I want replay value, if I'm just going for something, like, you know, goofy that I could just play over and over until my brain melts, maybe like one of the Grand Theft Auto games, but...
Well, mind you, the second one you have to save is a recent video game.
Okay, well, if it's all time, I'll probably go Chrono Trigger. It's tough though, because some of the Zelda games are really fucking awesome. I really like, but Link to the Past and things like that. I feel like I can't play that too many times, you know.
Yeah, true. I think so. You're going with Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd probably go with like Sea of Stars for the recent game, if because they do have the plus, so you could play it again with all your stats and stuff, I'm assuming, but it's not challenging enough. It was more difficult, and they had a little more free rangeness to it. Maybe I would.
Well, for me, my first game, my video game from all time that isn't Contra, I think would probably be Final Fantasy IX. I don't know why. The music and the story. The story is a little. I've played it so many times that this last time it felt a little thin to me compared to the first few times I played it, but.
You don't say.
You gotta
Final Fantasy, God
respect.
Damn it, Bryce, with the fantasy in the final. And the
I'm just telling you what the game that I would save is. It's Final Fantasy IX.
Okay.
My recent video game, I think, is that I would save that is not Contra. I
Fear
think
and Hunger. It's a good game.
It's also got to be Sea of Stars because, yes, there is a new game plus, and I played it accidentally too easy with one of those like amulet things on, so I could play it a little bit harder. And they said they might be adding a thing where you can play it couch co-op with another with someone
that'd
friend
be cool.
Right next to you. Yeah. So that'd be a cooler way to experience it. I think that'd be awesome. So that's my recent game. Okay. Any book from all time?
Well, I just finished Don Quixote, and that's probably the best book I've ever read. So either Don Quixote, or if I can combine books, Lord of the Rings trilogy into one book, I would probably pick one of those two. But Don Quixote, at least the version I read, was one of the best, if not the best book I've ever read. It was great.
Okay. I didn't think about this ahead of time, so...
You fucking bum.
Contra. Okay, what's
Contra
your
the novel?
It can't be Contra.
It just says...
What's your recent book from the last 10 years that isn't Contra?
That isn't Contra from the last 10 years. So not Don Quixote, yeah. Because that was from like the 1600s. I'd pick Drew McGarry's The Hike, but I don't know when that was published. Let me take a look at the publishing date on that. That came out in... Come on, give me a date. Oop, that came out in 2016, so I will pick Drew McGarry's The Hike.
Okay. I'm looking around my room trying to find something good.
If Stephen King's Revival came out in that 10-year span, I would go with that as well, because that was excellent.
I'm thinking Oh, okay. This is two weird ones from all time, but I'm thinking either Breakfast Zone of one. Champions. That was the only thing. That would be a recent one, but that was the only recent one I could think of earlier today. But from all time, I'm either gonna say Breakfast of Champions by Kurt Vonnegut or Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck.
You know what? That actually made me think that East of Eden could easily be in that selection for me too. I don't think it tops Don Quixote or Lord of the Rings, but it's definitely in the running because East of Eden it's my favorite Steinbeck. It was really good.
Yeah, I have that sitting here, so I'm excited to read that. Man, it's hard. I think I have to go with Breakfast of Champions just because it's more me. Kurt Vonnegut's just more me. And I get so on board with that cynical attitude and characters, and he does it so well.
He is good.
I'm halfway through Player Piano right now, and he's just, it gets so good. It's like so stupid and so good. And that's what all his books are, and they're just fantastic. Recent book from the last 10 years that's not Contra for me. 10 years. What if I read that's newish?
Zone One by Colson Whitehead. That's it.
Huh. I can't think. I think I might. You know what? I'm going to go. I don't know if it's 10 years, but it's close. I'm going to go with a poetry collection. The White Museum by. Shoot. Oh my God. His name's Luke right now. George.
Get.
Bill Geer.
Get. I was trying to get the good Bill Geer.
The White Museum by George Bill Geer. He is a contemporary poet, and he is inspiring to me. And he was published by a press that I interned at. That particular book was published at the press that I interned at after college. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Neat.
So those are the things that we saved from the Contra guys after the U.S. government decided to destroy them and they wanted to take everything good along with them. I like how I made the Contra guys villains in this scenario unintentionally.
Yeah, that's pretty dastardly of you.
Well, I just, you know, I just know we talk about Contra a lot and I was just rolling with it.
You talk about Contra. I don't even like Contra.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah, I was not a fan of Contra. I thought they were hard. I didn't really like Contra. I don't like beat 'em ups that much, and I don't like just running shooter games, which is just a shooting version of beat 'em ups. Not a big fan of Contra. I don't like them.
You're the one that always brings Contra up.
No, I don't like Contra. That's you. That's you, buddy.
Okay.
Big Contra fan over here.
I'm surprised we got through that fast.
Yeah, it didn't take that long. It didn't take 40 minutes.
Well, if you're good, I'm gonna sign off. Are you good? All right. He's chewing ice.
I was chewing ice.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Stay tuned this Monday, April 1st, for another special feature episode of Arcade Bookshop.
Yay!
We interviewed Jeffrey Vakola.
Yeah,
author of interview. Yeah, author of the novel King's Row, and also my old writing professor and advisor from Kutztown University of Pennsylvania.
I should have him on the DPW podcast so we can get down to brass tacks without you there to derail the conversation with your poetry stuff. Talking about real stuff, some fiction.
Yeah.
The real manly stuff.
My poetry stuff and my stuttering, which happened to sound like a dolphin right there. Then after that, come on back next Friday for another episode of Arcade Cafe. And after
don't put
that,
salt in your eye, Bryce.
Don't put salt in your eye.
Mad you don't make those videos anymore.
It's so much work, Caleb. If you want, we can make another one. But
I sent all those clips to you and you never made my last video.
Anyway.
Dickhead.
And after next Friday's Arcade Cafe. Monday after that, I don't know what the date is, but Look out for our episode on The Sound and the Fury, which is following our this week's episode on A Memoir Blue.
Which that should be a really good episode if I remembered what I was talking about on that. But I'm sure the video is all fucked up because we use camcorders still.
Yep, probably. But that's my work and not yours, so you don't even have to worry about it. But the video will be very available on YouTube. So everybody go check that out. Monday after next, check out Jeffrey Vakola next this coming Monday, and Sound of the Fury Monday after that.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Arcade Cafe. You've just spent some time in the Arcade Cafe with us, and we hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm Bryce Yoli with my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James. And we will see you next week.
Don't put so. Bye.